Hey guys, welcome back to this Watson chat room. I'm Sean. I'm joined here by my siblings, Craig and Louise.
Every week we upload an episode where we discuss either a movie or a TV programme, and we also take time to answer listener questions and catch up on our weeks.
Movies, question, catch up. Swanson chat room.
Okay, hi guys, welcome back. This week was my choice of film that got recommended to us. It is Lost in Translation. This was made in 2003, and I've got the little synopsis here from IMDb. It's a faded movie star and a neglected young woman form an unlikely bond after crossing paths in Tokyo. It stars Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson as well.
It's written and directed by Sofia Coppola, and her dad is Godfather. The very famous director, yeah, Godfather, Apocalypse Now, Francis Ford Coppola.
Ooh, I like The Godfather.
The Godfather.
Wow.
Yep, so we're just going to jump right into it then.
Yes,
yep. So the film opens up, it's just a view, like a 30-second view of Scott Johansson's bum.
Yep. Yeah.
Doesn't really come back into it at all, but it's just, she's just there.
Yep. And then it's like the main, well, it's Bill Murray, which you find out his name's Bob, is sitting in a taxi. It's like he's just come off a flight and he's looking at all the tall buildings in Tokyo.
Is he quite like amazed by it?
Yeah,
it's like, he looks like dazed, like he doesn't understand. Like obviously, it's all in a foreign language to him, so he doesn't really
know what's going on.
Yeah.
In a foreign land. And then eventually he sees a billboard with him on it.
Yeah.
His own self. And like then a whiskey advert.
That's when you start to realise that he's always probably a bigger a famous guy.
No, it's Bill Murray.
Well,
I think so then he, what are you saying?
I think it would have been quite cool in this film if Bill Murray had just played himself.
Yeah. That is cool.
Because he's quite old in this film anyway, so he could have still dealt with the same topics just by using himself.
I suppose because like he plays a character, the guy he's playing in this film called Bob is more of a, like he was an actor in the 80s or whatever, but then he isn't as much in the modern day. Yeah. He's kind of faded into the background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of like Bill Murray though, kind of.
You don't see Bill Murray, like, he still does stuff. He's like, but not, I suppose he's not like a big blockbuster kind of guy anymore.
Yeah, because back in the day, it was like Groundhog Day, Ghostbusters and that, and now he's, you know what I mean, a bit quieter.
Yeah. Yeah, so he eventually arrives at this hotel, and he goes in, and there's this big, like, party there to meet him, like a meeting party.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, hello, sir, and I'm shaking his hand and stuff.
Giving him gifts and cards and stuff.
Yeah.
She has, like, an entourage with him straight away.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're like, oh, we'll pick you up tomorrow. Well, no, come get you tomorrow. They don't even say, like, what time or anything. They just say, I'll come get you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which, that was my first question. It's like, yeah, like, what time? So, no, they told me it's 6 o'clock or 10 or... Because, like, they could be like, oh, yeah, well... Because he's jet-lagged as well, he could very easily sleep till, like, midday.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
But he, just give me a time, please.
He gets woken up on the first day because the curtains are automatically open. So there's some blast in his face.
Yeah.
Yeah, that comes in a little bit later. It's like, everything just seems so foreign.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To him, and he gets a note from someone saying that he's like forgotten his son's birthday or his kid's birthday.
Yeah, Adam's birthday.
I think it's his wife that said it.
Yeah. He gets faxes quite a lot throughout the film.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like, yeah. The fax kind of helps show what he's going through in that part of his life.
Yeah.
It's got this like elevator shot as he goes up to the room. And that's like quite like a famous, like where he's like head and shoulders above everyone in the thing, and they're all like doing their own thing, and he's just standing there like looking at the wall almost.
Yeah, like just in the middle of them all.
Yeah, that's like from the Netflix icon thing is a picture of that. And he goes up to the room, and then it has like the poster shot like of him sitting at the end of the bed, like just looking like isolated and like uncomfortable.
Yeah. And then he just try to watch TV, but they don't understand the notes, and then he just goes to sleep.
This film's where, like, it has, like, it was cut, have a few shots or something, and then cut away from it.
Yeah.
It's, like, very, like, quite, there's not that much of a through line. Like, things don't really, like, cause and effect. It's just, like, this, here's someone doing something for a little bit of context as to how bored they are, and then something else happens.
Mm.
Yeah. Equally innocuous, but then something else happens.
Yeah.
And then, does it cut to Scarlett Johansson now, or does it follow Bill Murray for a while?
Well, it's goes to the bar.
He goes to the bar. Yeah.
And he's got, like, those guys are like, oh my god, we're massive fans of yours. And then he's like, okay, and he, like, doesn't really want to speak to them.
Yeah, he's like, okay, I have to go now, bye. He doesn't just walk away from them.
See,
he does that a few times throughout the film, where he's like, he's quite rude to people, but I don't know.
I think it's probably because, like, if people have been saying the same things to you your whole life, you're eventually going to be quite tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he could at least be like,
yeah, I know.
Thank you. He could say thanks or whatever. Just he's like, bye.
He says thanks at the start. He's all smile at him and say like thanks, and then eventually he's just like bye, walks away.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they start talking about him to his face, like between each other. So it's kind of like it's a bit dehumanizing.
Yeah.
And then it's like he goes up to his bed, and then he wakes up, and it's 4:20 in the morning because he gets a fax. 4:20 blaze it, am I right?
I know. I thought that was going to be a sign. I was like, whoa, is he going to like do something here?
He gets a fax from his wife, and like, presumably it's something to do with like the time differences like that. It's like a reasonable time in America, yeah. Obviously not in Japan, in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like an example of like a little shot that just happens there, and then that's it. He gets the fax just says like, I hope you're there safe or something like that.
Yeah.
And then we see Scarlett Johansson.
Mm-hmm. In the room with her. Well, it's just a guy, but turns out to be her husband.
The fax actually was talking about he's getting bookshelves for his office.
Oh, yeah. There's like a few, kind of like throughout the film.
Yeah.
Like the study's getting made, and then he's like, she's getting his input on all the different parts of it.
She's like, what would you like for your bookshelves? It was like materials for crap.
And he doesn't care. He's just like, whatever, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it cuts to Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, Scarlett Johansson, and she's just looking at the window, and then she goes and try to wake up her husband, but he's like, no.
He's out.
Yeah.
He's sleeping. But she's like, it's like she's jet-lagged because she doesn't really, like, do anything. She just lives in the hotel and just doesn't really do much.
Yeah.
Whereas he's at work and stuff, so he's like, he's tired. He's
a actor as well.
Yeah, he's in quite a lot of stuff. He's in, like, Friends and stuff. He's in Squeaky Pete. He's quite good. He's not really in this very much. He's barely in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in like three scenes.
I feel like he's quite an awkward character, but I don't know if he's like meant to be like that or if that's just his way of acting.
Yeah, they just, because like their relationship is kind of strained, that they're not really, like, they don't click properly.
Yeah.
It's weird though, because like only actual people in this film really are the two main people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird because like they don't really meet until like 35 minutes in.
Yeah.
Or like, and like 45, like almost like two-thirds of the way, a third of the way through.
Yeah,
literally. What just kind of like, because obviously the film is built like centrally around these two like people who are lost from the title Lost in Translation. They're lost trying to find companionship.
Yeah.
They're not alone anymore. Did you know, like, Scarlett Johansson was 17 when she filmed this.
17?
Yeah. And she says I'll be married for 2 years. So presumably she's not playing someone who's 17 because she's married since 15. Like,
she's also going out and getting drunk and that, and they're sitting in her room with weed. So
I imagine
she's not playing as a 17-year-old.
She looks older than 17 though.
Yeah.
Damn.
She looks pretty much exactly the same now.
Yeah.
Does she? Wow.
Yeah. Well, obviously like she's a different hair and stuff, but. Pretty much.
17 now, we're like 2002, it came out 2003. So
2003.
Mid-30s now then.
Yeah, but she looks almost exactly the same. She's probably twice the age now, but she looks exactly the same. She was born in 1984 when Ghostbusters came out. Just for reference to how old, like, cause obviously like Bill Murray was like 30 when that came out.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Damn.
Unusual.
Yeah.
And then... So it has this kind of her doing. That's like, it's a very short little scene of establishing that she's like uncomfortable. It does a quite good shot of like she's like sitting looking at the window and she just looks quite, like she's not
quite lost and just doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Aye. And then it goes back to Bill Murray.
Yeah, him at the. No, he's filming the advert for whiskey.
It has a bit like where he wakes up and the curtains happen. Yeah.
It's
not a bit in the elevator as well, where he's in the elevator. Over and again, he looks over and Scarlett Johansson's there, and she just smiles at him, and they just both walk out.
Yeah. That's like the first time they like see each other.
They interact at all, yeah.
Yeah.
And you see, like, in that scene, there was a little girl who like was like crying in the background of that scene, but I don't think like she wasn't meant to be, obviously. But the little girl was like, she kept going like.
Yeah, there was another scene later on that I'm going to guess the two actors were not meant to be doing what they were doing either, but.
Yeah, well, apparently, from what I've read, that most of this film wasn't really scripted. It's just kind of like, I need you guys to go here and do this. But it's just, the director just let Bill Murray and Scott Johansson just, like, talk and improv the whole thing, really.
Oh, fair. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, like, it's just random conversations.
Well, that makes it a little bit more, that makes it a little bit better than, what, okay. It makes it make a little bit more.
It just kind of feels like small talk, like little kind of things. And that's what it is, It's not like scripted, you have to say this. It's just go in the room and talk about this and just bond over this.
Yeah. Wow.
And then, yeah, like they go in and then it's the photo shoot.
No, yeah, the advert.
Yeah.
For the whiskey, yeah.
Then the guy keeps, like, that bit's quite funny actually, whereas, well, it's like kind of awkward funny. Like, I didn't want to laugh, but I was like,
Yeah, because the guy's like saying, like, he's speaking for like 5 minutes, and then the translator's only saying, he just said like one word.
Yeah.
He's like, he wants you to turn his head. He wants you to turn your head. Yeah. He said more than that, though. There's no way that's all he said.
Yeah, he's like, you sure that's all he said? And she's like, yeah. And then they go.
He seems quite mad.
Yeah. Weird.
And the guy keeps going like, cut. They cut.
Yeah.
Cut. He's like, no.
Cut all.
And he keeps on telling him what to do. These huge things, and it's just this one same thing over and over.
Yeah.
I guess it's like he, like the director, like goes up to him, like pretty much shouts in his face, but obviously he knows that he doesn't understand him, but he's just trying to like communicate the passion, and then she just translates. He wants you to turn his head.
Yeah.
It's quite funny. Then we see Scarlett Johansson in the subway.
Yeah.
She's going down. And she's reading. You see, like the guys. She watches a guy reading like a big like a comic, like a manga comic, and that is Ghost in the Shell, which she went on to star in a film adaptation of that comic like 3 years ago.
Yeah, fair.
Oh, that's cool.
Little Easter egg. Yeah. Was like a retroactive Easter egg, because obviously at the time that wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, that's weird, eh?
Yeah, it's funny. And then like, she walks around the city, which happens like all the time.
Yeah.
Like the film. Pretty much half the film's runtime is just made up of just shots of people just walking around.
Mm-hmm. Just wandering.
Yeah.
And then she goes,
because they're lost.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
She goes to like this religious place where they're like
temple
singing praise. Yeah.
Yeah. At this scene, and quite a lot of times throughout the film, whenever characters are alone, they're always framed like in the corner of the shot.
Oh yeah.
Show, like, they're isolated.
Yeah,
they're just on their own. It's quite a nice way to portray like that they're constantly isolated.
Yeah,
they're like an island in the sea.
Oh.
Beautiful metaphor.
Yeah, that was actually wow.
She phones someone, presumably like her sister or something, or like a friend. And she says, like, oh, I'm doing well, but she's, like, crying when she's saying it, so obviously it's very clear that she's not okay.
She's struggling, yeah.
She's always great. So fun. But absolutely, no, it isn't. And we know, just watching her, that she just wanders around every day and doesn't really do anything.
Yeah. But her friend, doesn't even listen. Yeah.
Yeah, her friend's got, like, her own stuff to do.
Yeah.
I'm sure her friend, from her perspective, is like, you get to live in Japan and do nothing all day, so...
That's good.
Yeah. I suppose people like would be happy to. Some people want that to happen, but then when it actually happens, you're like, "Oh well, this is actually very boring. There's no fulfillment there, really." Yeah. The husband is there. We find out he's like a photographer. He's there filming a band or something like that, doing a music video.
Yeah.
And then he comes back, and then he is like just complaining about his day. Doesn't really ask for her input. Well, he asks for her input, but then just like says like, "Oh yeah, exactly," but doesn't really get her answer.
Yeah, he's like, "Yeah, that's what I thought." Yeah, because you said that.
No, I know he said that. Like, I know. But then she just like says, "Oh, does this look okay?" And he's like, "I don't know." Yeah. He doesn't care.
Oh, be shame on Scarlet. I mean, Charlotte.
Charlotte. Goodbye, Scarlet.
Yeah.
Then Bill watches TV. Oh, it is, as you keep saying, it is like sharp cuts between, like, it has 1 2-minute scene, but hard cut to something else totally different. But it conveys the same kind of emotion that they're just lonely, like, yeah, meandering, doing nothing.
That's kind of what it does for a lot, for like most of the first half of the film.
Yeah.
And then
he's Bill sitting watching TV.
He's watching himself on TV.
He keeps watching TV and he has actually no idea what's going on whenever he watches it, which is fair enough.
Because there's tons of, like, his programs, but then with, like, the
subtitles.
The Japanese. Wait, is it Japanese?
Yeah.
Japanese.
Yeah, over.
Dub. Which actually must have been, like, an actual old film of his because he looks much younger.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, maybe. Too.
And then, an escort comes in, which is a bit of like a weird, comes out of nowhere kind of moment.
Yeah.
Do you think that, like, Bill, like, he's told again to say whatever, just say whatever you can, but this is what you have to, for scenes like that.
I imagine that the director said to the woman, like, "Oh, go in and do this."
Yeah.
And then doesn't tell him at all.
Yeah, because he looks pretty shocked.
But why would they do that?
Just because it makes it look like a really awkward, genuinely awkward situation.
Oh.
Like, so his boss has hired an escort to come and take care of him, but he's not having it.
Yeah,
he's
like, rip my stockings. He's like, what?
Yeah, and he's like, lip.
It happens quite a lot where, like, there's a little speech. There's a speech barrier, like a language barrier, on the way through.
Yeah,
that whole scene was just so weird. I remember that really. I just looked at each other. I was just like, what just happened?
Yeah, he's like, what's the point in that? Like, it just
I was like rolling around on the ground and stuff, and it's like, well, what is this?
Weird.
It's funny. It's just, like, obviously that's like must be the Japanese culture of it.
I thought something was going to come out that, like, he would get accused of something or something like that, but nothing.
Yeah, there's not really that. It's not really what the film was about. There's, like, no... It's just going to convey that, like, he's on his own. Even when people are trying to, like, do stuff for him, he's, like, he's not having it.
Yeah.
And then, so he gets invited to this talk show the next day, but he says, nah, I'm busy. I have to go home.
He says, nah, and he phones his agent. He said, he talked to my agent. Tells his agent, he's like, nah, I want to go home. I don't want to do it. Make sure I can go home by Thursday.
Yeah.
He's like, it'd be really good. They said this guy's like, was he like the Jimmy Kimmel? Was it Jimmy Kimmel? He said, I can't remember who he said.
He said, nice. Yeah, but it's like that kind of version from the early 2000s. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, some famous talk show host. They really sell him really well.
Yeah.
But he says no. So he's like, it's not happening. But then the guy says, oh, you should do it, though. It'll be good for your brand or whatever in Japan.
Yeah. Get your fans in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, where does he go next?
It cuts to what's her name? Scarlet or Charlotte exploring Tokyo again.
Do they not meet before the photo shoot?
Do they?
I can't remember.
Do they?
Maybe they don't.
I don't think so.
Yeah, fair enough.
They meet just in the next scene after this. Ah, right. The next couple of scenes.
Yeah.
So, he did a photo shoot, and the guy's talking to him about, I'll be like James Bond, but like Roger Moore. And he's like, oh, I'm not Sean Connery. He's like, no.
Yeah, it was so weird. It's so weird that Roger Moore is the one that he picked.
He asked like the quintessential, because he says, like, did you not get the Sean Connery ones over here? And he's like, no.
All right. Fair enough.
Only the Roger Moore, because the Roger Moore ones are quite wacky and stuff, which from what we see of Japanese TV seems to be like more in line with what they like.
It's a lot more exaggerated than...
Like, when we see the TV later, it's like, what is happening?
Yeah.
And then...
That kind of comes back, because, like, you know the song, is it Nobody Does It Better? That song comes back later on.
Yeah.
In the bar, that's from a Roger Moore James Bond film.
Oh, fair.
Nobody does it better.
And then...
Yeah, beautiful.
So,
I don't know that song.
He's doing his photo shoot. And he's like, once again, he doesn't really feel very comfortable being there, but he does it.
It's quite funny as well, because he's like, trying to pose. He's like, put your hand to your face. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. He's like, I'm not sitting with my hand up here, but okay.
And then he goes to the bar.
Yeah.
And then, like, we constantly see shots of performers, like, in the bar and kind of, like, like most of the people, white people we see are
in the hotel,
performative kind of roles. They're just there to like entertain.
Yeah.
Just kind of represents how maybe he feels about his role in this. So he's not really like he's not part of the society. He's like on the outside entertaining them.
Yeah. And then it like has the shot of like Charlotte looking at Bob and they're smiling at each other. And then she like whispers to the waitress to send a drink to his table.
It's a little thing of wine or something.
Yeah.
A little sake. When she first picked it up, I thought it was like some like cubes of sugar. I was like, why is she going to give that? why would he want sugar?
That's such a random thing.
And then like it just cuts again to he's trying to work a treadmill.
Yeah, what the... No, a cross trainer.
Cross trainer, yeah, sorry.
What even was that scene? I was like, what's going on?
He must not be able to read the buttons, so he just heads up, putting the speed right up, but he can't put it back down again.
And he's going, cranks quite up, and,
like, but surely, like, if it's just, it was doing it automatically, like, why would he even be...
Yeah, I don't know.
How's he even doing it?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to shake him about a bit. It's not going to do any exercise.
Yeah, that's not how a cross trainer works.
Yeah.
Well.
God damn it, Bill!
That's a wee flaw.
I want to pretend that he's exercising, but there's no one else in the room, so who's he pretending to?
Exactly.
Yeah, and then Scarlett Johansson meet with her husband, meet some woman. He's played by Anna Faris, who's like, she's some kind of actress, but she seems quite stupid.
She's a stereotype of an actress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, Sofia Coppola based this off kind of her real relationships with people. So she based this woman off like a real actress and like her, but she sees herself as Scarlett Johansson's character.
Fair enough. Like kind of.
So then, yeah, like the woman says something like she references a man with a woman's name as a woman, and he's like, well, that's ridiculous.
Wait, what?
But she says like there's a guy like you see there's like a person called like Evelyn something. Yeah. As a man. She references that as a woman, but then she's like, oh, she's stupid.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like, and then he starts to defend.
Yeah, he's like, why
it seems quite harsh. It seems quite harsh then, but then later on we see her again and she's like, oh, no, she is stupid.
Yeah.
He's talking about Keanu Reeves later on. It's quite funny.
Yeah.
Right, we'll get back to it later, though. And then she meets up with Bill at the bar.
Meet up with Bill at the bar. Is that the first time they properly talk?
Yeah.
And then they...
Yeah, this is like 40 minutes into the film.
Yeah, she's like, watch a drink. And then he turns around and he's like, for comfort, you should drink the name. I can't remember what it's called. The drink.
Yeah, the whiskey that he's advertising.
Or calling his advert.
It's quite funny, though. And then the guy behind him, like, mouths along with it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, yeah. So he's got some sort of fame there. And then they just sit and talk about... What does he even talk about?
He's there. He's being paid $2 million to endorse this whiskey.
Yeah.
And she says she's been married for 2 years, which again, as we've established, is a bit weird for her to say that at 17, but...
She's not 17 in this film, though.
Yeah, she's not, yeah. She's probably meant to be like 25 or something.
Yeah.
Whereas he's been married for 25 years, and it's kind of implied that it's not going well for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of gets that... That's it's like two different people, because that's when you kind of find they kind of explain their lives, and she's at that point in their life where she's like she said she just finished university, and you kind of go into the world, and you don't really know what you want to do with your life yet. She just doesn't really feel like she knows what she's doing. That's why she's kind of wandering aimlessly, whereas Bill Murray's hit like his midlife crisis where he's kind of like past his peak now. He's starting to realize that, and he's just kind of trying to. And they're both just kind of talking about it.
They're both trying to find meaning at different stages in their life. It's just it's quite a nice like meeting, like ships in the night. Like that's what it, like the metaphor.
Ships in the night. Both are different stages of their life, but they both teach each other things.
Yeah, they learn from each other.
Yeah, and then like they're talking. Like that's what in a very brief way. That's what they're talking about. She's explaining that she just got a degree in philosophy. She doesn't know what to do. And he's saying, you used to do an advert to endorse a whiskey. He says earlier he didn't even really like the whiskey. He was just endorsing it.
Yeah, and when they're drinking it, when he's doing the photo shoot earlier, he's like, if you actually gave me whiskey, I would be able to do it better. But this is apple juice.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, this is iced tea or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Nightmare.
She doesn't really like it.
Which makes sense because, like, presumably they aren't, like, making them drink loads of whiskey for all these takes.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, eventually just be, like, spewing.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, you don't have to, you don't have to drink in any of them. You just kind of hold it.
Yeah, you can, like, pretend to drink sometimes. Like,
yeah.
He's up to his mouth. He's like, I'll have a drink. What, don't you want to have a drink? He's like, yeah, I'll have a drink after this. A real drink. Then yeah, Bill goes swimming, yeah. And then we see it's going to intercut with Scarlett going to the arcade. The arcade seems kind of weird because everyone's like seems like an absolute pro at everything they're doing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. They're all like hardcore going for it.
They all kind of seem like, but at that time though, Tokyo was like one of the tech capitals of the world.
We've got like a big gaming scene.
Yeah,
in Japan,
like for like technology wise, they were the most advanced.
Yeah. It would be a hard situation that Scarlett Johansson's character is in, because like it's kind of the point where the internet isn't that big, so there isn't really much to do. Whereas like if you were there now, you could just like find fulfillment. You could like start streaming or do something like that, or
start
a podcast. She said that the reason she came. She said the reason she came was because she had friends there in Japan.
Yeah.
That's why she came. But she doesn't even, like, meet her friend until, like, the second out, like, the last parts of the film.
Yeah,
and it seems like they're not really... Well, they have, like, one scene where they get on quite well, but then another scene that they don't even... Like, she doesn't even speak to them. She meets at the bar and doesn't even speak to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, they go... See, you think you go for a meal with this actress again, and she just keeps talking about herself.
The whole talking about just like cleansing,
absolutely nothing,
and just anorexia and that, and
yeah. She's like, well, she's like the actress stereotype. She just keeps talking about herself. She's so self-obsessed, and then she's like, she has a lot of conversation with this other guy who just starts talking about like how he makes really cool beats. He's like, well, yeah, just not the tempo. Like, she doesn't care.
He's like, do you know what I'm saying? She's just like, no.
No.
And then the actress woman's like, oh my god, guys, you have to listen. And then goes on to say absolutely nothing.
You're talking about something like a cleanse or something.
Yeah, which is absolutely, like, she does not care. So Scott Jan's character just gets up and walks away.
Yeah. She says, excuse me, and leaves, and then goes and sits. Does she go talk to Bill Murray?
Yeah.
Because they see each other.
Yeah. She just like has a little bit back and forth. They have quite good chemistry, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit of banter.
Banter?
Be a bit.
And then does it cut to the next again morning where like her husband's packing to leave?
Yeah, he's getting ready to go.
And then
it was a long photo shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, like in a different city or something. He's going away for a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, sure you don't want to come? And she's like, nah.
I'll have more fun here. Like, but all we know is she's not having fun. So.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of implied that she just doesn't like her husband.
Yeah. That much.
And there's a point where she's looking at through like photos of when they used to be together, and they look so happy, but we never see her smile in the film.
She talks about that
later on. Yeah,
we didn't talk about marriage. Yeah,
yeah. Then we see like, Bill goes swimming, and then she goes swimming, and they run into each other.
Mm-hmm. And she invites him out with her friends later.
Yeah.
Which again is weird because he's like so much older than she is.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's obviously like if they were the same age, you'd read it as they're like a romantic connection. But like the way me watching it, I just read it as like just one companionship.
Yeah. I don't think there's a romantic connection. Even at the end, hello, mum.
They said hello back. She's away now.
Yeah, it's more like a platonic. They just want to be friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a meaningful like someone they've run into.
And it's just, they have some sort of chemistry with each other, so they just hang around with each other all the time because they have a chemistry with no one else here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice, though. It's a nice...
It's nice.
Little cute relationship. As I said, like, the relationship between those two, like, kind of, like, is the saving grace of the film. Like, those two, they go well together.
Yeah.
They kind of like they bounce off each other quite nicely, and it just seems like very natural. Because obviously it is all improv, but they must be quite like they're quite good at it.
Yeah. We're doing quite well.
Yeah. And then that's to Bill in his room, and he's got like a FedEx full of carpet samples.
Mm-hmm. From his wife.
Yeah. She's like, I'll pick this one. I really like the burgundy. He's like, which one's that?
Yeah, they're all actually burgundy.
Whenever I see FedEx in a film, I always think of Castaway.
I've never sat down and watched it all the way through. I've seen it in bits.
I don't know what that is.
Castaway is like Bill Murray gets stranded on an island.
It's a classic, very classic film. I should definitely watch it.
Well, it's not Bill Murray, it's Tom Hanks. Imagine it was Bill Murray.
I've seen it.
Wilson the Ball.
Wilson!
That sounds like him from Friday Night Dinner. Jim.
Wilson.
Yeah.
Hello, Jackie.
Shalom, Jackie.
Shalom.
Friday Night Dinner is good.
Yeah, he looks at the carpet samples, doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
He gets back to her off camera, presumably saying, yeah, the burgundy sounds good, but he doesn't care.
Yeah.
And yeah, he goes to her room wearing a like, camouflage t-shirt, and she's like, oh, is that a midlife crisis? It is a midlife crisis then.
Yeah.
And he's like, he makes a joke that he's in like for the army or some crap, so he goes to the...
It's in case you go to war. Yeah. So he's wearing an orange camo.
Yeah. So he goes into the bathroom and like flips it inside out. It looks a lot better inside out.
Yeah. And she has to cut the label off.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you're too tall. And she's like, oh, maybe you're too short. Which just kind of feels like there's no way they would script that. It just feels like a very like weird interaction.
Yeah.
This scene's very weird where they go to the club. This scene lasts for like 20 minutes. They go to the club and then they're kind of like dancing about talking to people. And then the friends start getting like rowdy and like shouting and throwing stuff.
Yeah.
And the bartender like whips out this like BB machine gun and starts shooting at people.
Hey, like the green stuff coming out.
It's tracer rounds. So you can see the bullets.
And so the police can be like, those are the people.
Yeah.
It's like a little paintball gun, but it's such a weird, he actually just whips out this little mini Uzi and he's just like.
Just blasting it.
So then they
all run out.
They go to and like then, a house. Well, yeah.
They go to this guy's, they all run away and go to one of the friend's houses.
She runs, the first time they run straight to the arcade. He comes back. They kind of walk around the arcade a bit and then they go into the taxi. Then they go to the friend's house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Little scenes come back. And it's like, Bill Murray sings, they do karaoke, and Bill Murray sings a song about being sad and trying to find yourself, which I thought was very meta.
Yeah.
Because that is what the whole film's about.
Yeah.
He had a cool voice. I never heard him sing before.
Yeah.
Very deep.
Aye.
Just like, I kept being like, during the photo shoot, they're like, oh, be like Frank Sinatra. Oh, yeah. Old blue eyes. And he's like, it's quite funny. It's nice.
Scarlett Johansson's good at singing.
Yeah. Yeah, she was.
Unexpected.
She's got like a wig on, like a pink wig.
Yeah.
And then, he just kind of deals with there's like karaoke and that, and it just shows them all bonding again. There are a lot of the scenes that you can just kind of see very abruptly, it's just them bonding, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I quite like the cinematography at this point, because as I said before, there's a lot of shots early on of just people on their own sitting isolated, whereas now there's like shots of them in groups of people, or like it's them two together, and they take up like, the whole frame. There's no empty space, really.
Yeah.
In the language, it quite communicates it better. Yeah.
Makes them feel like full.
Yeah. And then Bill takes her upstairs and tucks her in.
And back to the hotel.
The vibe I get from it is like it's more like a father daughter relationship.
Yeah.
Or kind of like a big brother as well.
Yeah. Like an uncle, like a big brother. Kind of, yeah. They're like family, but they're like close as well. Like they're.
Yeah.
It's nice. At some point, Bill gets phoned from his wife, and it doesn't seem like it seems because he's implied that they're having bad marriage. But at this point, this phone call seems like it's nice.
Yeah.
And she's like chatting away to him, being all nice, but then she like hangs up without saying she loves him, and he's like, "I love you," but it's already hung up. It's like, oh.
And they talk about like how his daughter isn't eating or something.
They talk about it later. Quite a lot. They call the kids like. But they sound like the kids are quite young, but he seems like old.
Yeah.
Weird. He's like probably like 60 or like 55, and to have kids that are like, well, like they seem very young from what they're talking about.
Yeah.
We don't know how old his character is, though.
Sure.
It could be in his 40s.
Could be 25. Who knows?
Could be. Who knows, yeah.
But we could both be playing 25-year-olds.
Yes.
Perfection.
Seems legitimate.
And then, like, the next day, it's kind of, like, most of the time throughout the day, it's just, like, intercutting, like, what random thing they're doing that day. So, like, Bill goes golfing, Scarlett Johansson goes for lunch.
Yeah.
And then, like, she shows him her toe.
And it's black.
It's black.
Because she stubbed it.
Yeah.
She stubs her toe.
And then they got back and forth about how they're going to eat the toe. Like, in Japan, they love to eat black toes.
Yeah. It was a very weird scene this scene where he, like, mocks the guy's accent as well.
Yeah. Yes. It's kind of maybe it wouldn't fly the same way nowadays, because this obviously was 17 years ago.
Yeah, a different time, yeah.
Yeah, but it's weird, because even, like, it's not that long ago, really, but it's just, it isn't racist in itself. It's just kind of, like...
Yeah, nah.
They're acknowledging the cultural differences.
Yeah.
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 And they go to the hospital. They're running about in a wheelchair, just having fun.
Yeah.
And I went and asked Poppy about this scene, because she says that the position that she gets her X-ray done is correct, is accurate. Well done. Poppy's our resident expert about scans.
Thank you, Poppy.
Thank you, Poppy. Bill's sitting speaking to this old man.
Oh, yeah.
Is this the scene you're talking about, Craig, where, like, the people were laughing in the background?
Yeah.
Where it's like this little, it's a little boy dressed in, like, it was a little man, it's an old man, but he's dressed in the little boy clothes and he's just trying to tell him something. But then, like, it's just not happening, and this woman laughing at the background.
The two of them are actually crying.
I didn't notice that. Like,
there's no way. Funny. I just don't think that was scripted, yeah.
No. But again, I think I would reckon that Sofia Coppola just says to this old man to go and, like, try and tell him something. And they just sit and film it. And eventually something funny happens.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's and funny. Then Bill, like, the man shows Scott Johansson her X-ray, but, like, she doesn't understand what's happening.
No idea what he said, yeah.
He's like, okay. And then Bill comes
up saying, like, in real life, though, like, would you not, like, at least ask or anything? Like, she just doesn't, like, you ask, like, a translator or anything, because it's quite important if talking about the medical thing about your foot.
I don't know if you have to pay for medicine in Japan. So maybe, like, that would cost extra or something like that, so they would opt against it.
They might have insurance, though.
Yeah, and surely they would tell. Maybe she's just operating under the assumption that if it was really bad, they would tell her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, the Bill gives her an owl when they come out, and the owl is because they're, like, night owls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're up at night because they're always, like, perpetually jet-lagged, but jet-lag normally lasts for, like, few days, like a week max, but then they're constantly jet lagged.
Yeah. Bill Murray's only there for about a week. Like, yeah, he only comes, how many days is it? You see him the first day he's there. Yeah, I would say he's there for about a week.
Probably, yeah, a week altogether.
But it's like,
the next,
you get jet lag, but you can get used to, you can just get used to being a night owl as well, because, like, they're constantly going to the bar and that.
Yeah, yeah. They quit meeting up in the night and stuff.
Yeah, so they'll get used to it.
Yeah. The next day, they go. He asks her to, oh, we'll go to this club. It's called Orange or something like that. And then it's like a strip club. And he's just sitting there, like, watching this woman, like, flip around.
Yeah. And she's like, where is everyone? You're just sitting here. Like, how long have you been sitting here by yourself?
I've lost all sense of time. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, where are my friends? He's like, oh, they're over there getting dance lessons.
Yeah, in the strip club.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then they just leave then. And she's like, I will just leave. They run away.
Yeah.
They run back to the hotel, actually, because they just run around in the traffic for a bit.
Yeah.
And then they run back to the hotel.
There's, like, a scene where they're, like, sneaking away from the actress woman who's doing, like, a speech. Oh, she's singing.
Yeah, she's singing. It's just, yeah. Yeah. She's singing that Roger Moore song.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody does it better.
And they're, like, sneaking past her so she doesn't see.
And you can see that Scott Johansson's laughing, which, again, I don't think that would be scripted. It would just be, like, she just thinks it's funny, because Bill Murray seems like a funny guy.
Yeah.
Bill Murray does this thing where, like, he, in real life, he'll, like, just show up to people's weddings and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, which sounds like, oh, what a cool guy, but at the same time, like, if Bill Murray show up to my wedding, it's, like, totally took the limelight off.
Eh.
It'd be a bit frustrating.
Yeah, that would be.
But I mean, it would make the wedding memorable for everyone at that point.
We hope that it'd be memorable anyway. Like, it's not Bill Murray's day.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know why we would do that.
Yeah. Nah,
there must be something for it. There must be like, they might ask. Like, someone might ask, like, this guy's a huge Bill Murray fan. You want to come? Like, the guy's getting married, a huge Bill Murray fan. A girl, one of them, or both of them, are huge Bill Murray fans. You want to come and shock them?
Yeah.
Because to be fair, if I was at a wedding and like, Lionel Messi came, I'd be like, all right. Yeah,
but like, he doesn't speak English really. He doesn't speak English that well.
Yeah, I know.
But some guy. Guy there.
Yeah, but it would just be. It's just like, you know what I mean. It'd just be unbelievable. You'd just be like, what?
You go to a wedding and like, Robert Downey Jr. comes in and he's full Iron Man gear. You're like, oh yeah, cool. This is cool.
Yeah, that would still be. But I would still be more shocked if Lionel Messi came than Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, I would be as well. Why are you here?
But it's just be like, cool though. You just like, even if you couldn't really speak English, you're just like, yeah, all right, Lionel Messi was at my wedding. I was like, yeah, fair enough.
I just like, I can just imagine like the situation where Bill Murray is like, he goes and speaks to the people. He goes and speaks to the people who like have not the security on the wedding, but like the people who run the facility, they run the place where it is, yeah. And then they're just like, hi, I'm Bill Murray. Can I just come in? They're like, no. He's like, oh, come on, but I'm Bill Murray. Okay then.
There must be a reason for it. He can't just gate crash weddings by himself.
It does happen. I've seen it online.
That's so weird.
Yeah, that is a bit weird.
Then they run up to this. They go to the room and they're watching a film together. Like she can't sleep, and so he invites her over to watch a film.
Yeah,
and they're drinking wine out of these little wooden cups.
Yeah, the wooden cups look cool.
Yeah, I thought that as well. They look just nice. They talk about the first time they met.
Yeah. And they talk about, like, their relationships and, like, their lives and stuff again.
The word she uses is stuck. No. I'm stuck. And she's only 2 years into her, like, her marriage, it probably doesn't bode well. No. And he's like, she's like, well, does it get better with age?
It does. Like, he hesitates. He's like, yeah.
He's like, it gets complicated, but it does.
Yeah. And it's like, but he talks about how, like, his marriage is like, it goes so well, but then when you have kids, everything kind of changes.
Yeah, like it's...
I didn't like it when he said that.
No, because it kind of feels like, which I suppose it can happen, where he just kind of feels like he isn't really needed anymore.
Yeah, he said, like, the day your child is born, your life's changed. He's like, everything just goes downhill. I was like, all right.
Well, it
says, like, your life as you know it is gone.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, your whole life kind of becomes like there.
Like you're devoted to this life, the new person.
But then he said it's like amazing to see like your children become great people. So yeah,
that's why it's all worth it. You see them grow.
But they grow into the most delightful people you'll ever meet. That's what he says.
Wow. He talks about how like he knows his kids miss him, but they're getting used to him not being there.
No, that's what his wife says on the phone. It's like we'll talk about that in a little bit. But his wife, the conversation they have later, I think the wife's like really mean to him.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I think he just kind of feels like, because like before him, it was just him and his wife. They had each other, but now his wife has these other people. So yeah, he kind of feels like he's left out sometimes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He kind of like implies that maybe his wife doesn't give him the same amount of attention she would have done because she doesn't need his affection.
Yeah. And I was like, he said before that like he talks about how like how she would come with him for all these trips and that, and now he had to go on this one alone.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
But then, so they're just doing that, and then they're kind of like, they lie together in the bed at that point. It's quite, they have the nice little shots of like, they're just lying together. And again, they take up the whole frame because they're not isolated anymore, but just like the focus is just on like their relationship.
Yeah.
And they're like, they fill it up. They fill up the whole frame.
Mm-hmm.
It's just nice. This film has going to be quite good, like visual storytelling about communicating like isolation and like companionship.
Yeah.
And then, the next day, this had another thing where like they go and do a random thing. So Garrett goes to a trip to another city, and then she sees a wedding in a park.
Yeah.
At Kyoto or something.
And then it's just not wedding.
Kyoto, yeah.
Bill Murray's in the bar.
No, Bill Murray's shaving the first.
Oh, yeah.
And then gets a call and like slaps the phone onto his shaving phone. I just thought like, don't do that, Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Disgusting.
Disgusting.
It sloshes that a bit on his minging ear. Yeah.
Yuck.
Then, like, he goes outside and there's a scene where, like, there's a van drives past and there's a man running alongside it and they're all screaming outside the window. Do you know what that is?
No.
No.
It's like it's the way, like, politicians kind of do it. So he's like, the guy who's running outside will be a politician and that'll be his, like, campaign team, like, shouting, like, I'll vote for
me. Okay. Yeah.
Campaign. It's a weird way to do it. Yeah.
Then Bob goes on the TV show.
Yeah.
Which, again, was another weird one.
He just seems so confused the whole time.
Yeah.
This is probably the weirdest scene where it's just very uncomfortable and he just doesn't know.
Doesn't really show that much of actually getting filmed, but he watches more of it. The next scene shows him in it, lying in bed watching it, and he kind of see it. And he just looks so, like, they're all laughing at things. He doesn't really know what they're laughing at.
Yeah.
He doesn't get it, Bill, like, gets a taxi away from there and he looks like sees a photo of Charlotte, of Scarlett, who's also called Charlotte. It's a very confusing.
Yeah.
And then reads, it looks at it just like kind of like scent, like a bit of sentiment. It's like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
Then he's taking a big bath and he gets a call from his wife. And his wife is like, it's, well, if you like it in Japan so much, just stay there. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what you want to hear for your wife. You want your wife to be like, oh, please come home.
Yeah. They do talk about something. He's like, he's kind of like a realization in his life. He's like, when I come back, I want to start eating healthier. I don't eat pasta all the time.
Yeah, he's like, I want to eat Japanese food.
Yeah, and that's when she's like, if you love Japan so much, you just stay there.
Yeah.
Which I think quite cruel. And then that's when she's like, the kids are forgetting you. Essentially. Yeah.
That's so nasty.
It is mean. There's definitely resentment there.
And then that. What happened? Because then afterwards, Bill goes down to the bar, and then the woman who's singing comes next to him. She's like, "Hi," and then it just cuts to the next morning, and it shows that Bob's clearly cheated on his wife.
Yeah, wakes up with her like.
She's having a shower. Yeah, is it crap?
Yep, crikey.
That singer woman, she apparently, I read in the trivia that she isn't actually an actress, she's just like a random singer.
Oh.
That Sofia Coppola was like, you can be in my film, because she just found them on, like, location in Tokyo. It was like, you can come.
That's cool.
She only has, like, she just sings and has one line, like, hi.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then whenever we see her, apart from that, she's just singing. Yeah. I quite like it as well, whenever, after that morning, she is completely off screen.
Yeah, you don't see her at all, just in the shower.
Because you don't really need to see her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it communicates it quite well that he just feels, even like when he's got companionship, he still feels isolated.
But because he feels so bad, obviously, because he's just cheating on his wife. But
you find it later on, like, he feels bad, but I feel like he feels more bad that he's, like, emotionally cheated on his new friend Scarlett than he does cheating on his wife.
Yeah, fair.
Then Scarlett comes to the door, and she's like, I'm going for some breakfast or something if you want to come. And then.
He's like, yeah, but I can't right now. And you can just hear her singing in the shower.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, I can see you're busy or something like that.
Yeah.
And then, eventually they do go for food.
Yeah. They go to, do they not go to the bar?
No, they go to a restaurant.
Oh, right.
And like, they show the menu. The menu looks, like, everything looks identical.
Yeah. So Bill just said, well, I have two of this. She doesn't look very
happy. Yeah. And she is mad at him, and the food comes over, like, instantaneously, because obviously it's just raw food, and they cook it themselves.
Yeah,
The first time I was watching it, I was like, wow, that was so quick. Like, they say, like, one sentence to each other, and then the food's over.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to, like, that night, and they're obviously just sleeping on their own, and then the fire alarm goes off, and they go outside.
Yeah, and they go out, and then, No, because they kind of have, like, an argument in the restaurant and they find fallout. And then the fire alarm goes off, so they both go outside and then they kind of both say, like, that was the most awkward meal I've ever had.
Just start speaking whatever you're trying to say, Craig.
Yeah, so, like, the firemen look like spacemen. It was really weird. The Martians.
Yeah, like, it's cool. They look, just like whenever you see... what the future, people thought the future would be like in the 50s, he looked like that.
Yeah.
Like in Back to the Future, when he dresses up as, like, he pretends to be Darth Vader or something. It reminds me of something like that.
Yeah, or try to be all like he's made out of metal.
Like an alien at a Star Trek or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Like old. It just looks funny, but must just be normal for them.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so then they kind of bond there, come back together again. And then Bill's saying that he's leaving tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they go spend the next day. Do they spend one time at the bar? I can't remember. No. No, they don't.
Yeah, they have one more time at the bar. Straight after that, they go to the bar, sit for a bit, and go upstairs and...
Say bye. Yeah. And then Bill's leaving the next day and he phones her room so he can get his jacket back, but she doesn't answer.
When they're going down the elevator, sorry, just before that end of that day, he's like, oh, bye. And then they kiss, kind of like half on the lips.
Yeah, that was weird.
It was only the cheek. It was a kiss on the cheek.
But it was like right
like on the ledge. Yeah.
And then... But then they must be on the wrong floor or something, because then they do it again one floor later.
But I think that wasn't planned as well, because it was kind of like an awkward, like, oh, huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they almost didn't know what to do, but it's quite cute. They just do exactly the same thing again. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he calls up the room, as he said, and asks for his jacket back.
Yeah. And then she doesn't answer. So he's about to leave. He's getting pictures of all these people. And then this other woman's like, oh my god, are you this actor? Are you Bob? I love you. I love your films. He's like, oh, thanks. But then he sees Scott Jansy, he's like, right, sorry, and leaves her again. And then goes up and gets the jacket back. And he's like, okay, see you later. Because their goodbye is quite awkward.
Yeah, it's like quite abrupt.
Yeah.
I think it's funny when he speaks to the fans as well, because he's quite rude again, where he's like, oh, why are you in Japan? He's like, I have to go now, bye.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry, I have to go now, bye.
So then he just goes in the taxi to go away, and he's like, driver, stop!
Is he that forceful?
Yeah. He's
like, driver, stop!
He's like, stop, and he sees Scarlett Johansson walking the streets. So he goes up to see her, and they just do a big long hug, and they kiss. It was weird, like, I think they kiss each other on the lips, but like, I think they do it just because like, they've just shared so much together.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I'm not going to say it's like a, like they're like romantically connected. I would just say like they just have a lot of emotion right now because they've just went through big stages of their life together.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they've found companionship. I read it the same. Like it's just more, it's an emotional moment. Yeah. They're just an emotional release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird that he's not like, here's my phone number or something. We'll keep texting or whatever. It's just like, it's almost like they just want it to be this like perfect little interaction. Yeah. They don't want to have anything.
I mean, I think after they'll go move on with like they've taught each other what they need to move on with the rest of their life.
I like to think that she would
try and find them.
Probably get divorced or whatever from her husband, because she obviously isn't happy in the situation, or she'd try and, he says you should keep writing, try and find like your voice and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he like whispers something in her ear, which we don't get to know. It's a secret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I quite like though, because it's like it's not meant for us, it's just meant for between them.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
And then he gets back in the car, drives to the city.
And that's it. Ends.
But it's got like nice shots. Is it very similar to the very start of the film?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I noticed that there's less kind of billboards at the end. And all the billboards are like of like, most of the rebels are like of American companies, so maybe he like feels more accustomed. He knows where to look and stuff now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Just as he's leaving, just as he's kind of got used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it. That's the end of Lost in Translation.
Alright.
Yep. And he leaves and that's it.
That's it.
Right. Review then, guys. We'll go first.
So I've heard you guys talk about it before. You said maybe it's a bit, it is quite slow. And I would say, yes, it is slow, but I would probably say it's more meditative, kind of like insular. It's about more looking in, like, what does the film project into you? Like, how do you, does it make you feel? And can you relate to the characters?
Right.
Instead of it being more like, this film is, like, when we watched Pirates of the Caribbean, there was no like, oh, that's so deep. That really makes me think. It's just, this film is a set of shots. Whereas this one is more like, the shots are just like a kind of sounding board for you to find how you fit into the situation almost.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of see I see what it's doing. It's, you know, it's trying to show two key moments in people's lives that everyone goes through in their life, and it's trying to show how these people, trying to help you, trying to find a way to see if you could help you deal with it. It shows how they deal with it. Yeah. But it's like, honestly, I think if that film didn't have Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson in it, I don't think it would be as good. I don't think it would be reviewed as good as what it was. I think it's because it's got those big A star names.
Scarlett Johansson wasn't that famous at that time.
Fair. Even just Bill Murray then. And it's like,
yeah, Bill Murray, yeah, I think he is the best part of the film.
Yeah. I think it, I have to say, I think it was a bad, I can see what it's trying to be, but for me, it still doesn't take away the fact that it was not, I just think it was a bad film.
I think it just needed, like, they needed to be doing something at the same time as, like, finding each other, or, like, finding themselves,
like,
There should have been a story more.
I think,
yeah,
if you watched it when you're going through this, in the exact time you're going through the struggles one and I were going through, you might find a connection more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was so, so bored. I have to just be honest.
Yeah, I was this kind of somewhere where I was checking, I paused it halfway through to go to the toilet and I was like,
yeah,
like, there's still 50 minutes left. Like, what nothing's happened yet.
Exactly. Like, I was just so...
At the same time, I did like the film. I appreciate, as you said, what it's doing, like what it's trying to communicate. But
it isn't
the same type of film we've been watching before.
It was a very indie film with an A-star actor. It was odd.
Yeah. Where it has, like, as you said, Louis, sorry, it isn't like, there's no driving plot behind it.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, because I suppose it's kind of a similar story. If you look back to the Pirates of the Caribbean analogy, like, Elizabeth is kind of going on the same story as Charlotte is in this one, where she's kind of just trying to, like, find her own self and liberate herself. But that's happening in the background of this massive story.
Yeah, and I think that was a cooler... I wouldn't say better, but it was easier to watch, I think.
Yeah, it's just easier because then you know, like, when something's going to happen, or you know if, like, it's... I don't know, like, you're just finding out and something.
If someone wants to focus on that storyline, they can. But if they don't enjoy that storyline, they can still enjoy the rest of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas,
yeah, I get you.
Like, you know, if you're not really connecting with these characters, then this film doesn't really have any meaning to you yet at all.
Yeah.
I get you.
And then you wonder if by the time you get to that age, will, like, society be so different that that film will still be meaningless? Because, like, that's dealing with a time where, like, technology isn't really there yet.
Yeah.
And things are obviously very different. People were a lot more isolated back then.
It's weird because, like, it makes you feel... Because obviously these two people are in, like, quite... Like, they're in quite incredible situations where, like, most people would be very happy to have no ties and live in Tokyo, or to be getting paid $2 million to endorse a thing for a week.
Yeah.
Where, like, I think it does a good job of communicating, like, you don't feel like, oh, they don't know how good they have it. I think they do a good job of being like, even though they have these things, they're still sad.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't feel like they're being, like, ungrateful.
No.
Yeah.
And it's like, it just shows that everyone goes through these struggles, and it shows it from,
Most definitely. But it is, as I think you said before, it is based entirely that these two characters, with these two actors, very much, like, make it their dynamic, like, it just feels right. And I suppose because of the improvisational nature of the film, like, Bill Murray kind of, like, probably carries the film.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, I think, what's her name that directed it?
Sofia Coppola.
Like, she does... probably doesn't deserve as much credit as what she got for this film. I read the reviews for after because I was curious. I actually googled, is this one of the worst films ever made? And it wasn't.
Obviously, but, no, it is. It's much worse. But we've seen worse films on this review.
I've seen bad movies, but there's bad movies that are so bad they're good. But this just was bad. This for me, and it was.
I disagree. It's bad. It doesn't give you what you want from it, but it doesn't make it bad.
I just thought it was bad. I was just so bored. I usually don't get bored. Like, this was one of the few films I still powered through it, but I hate leaving films halfway through. But
yeah.
I did feel like it. I just felt like...
I'm interested to hear what your ratings will be then.
Yeah, it's going to be a low one.
Do you have any more thoughts, Louise, before we do our ratings?
No, I think we should just get on to our ratings.
Right, let's crack on then. Who wants to go first?
I've also thought, I just did not think it was going to be that for our last DLC.
I had it pretty much. I knew exactly what it was going to be.
It was Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson. I was like, oh, this is going to be good. And I was like, what's good? This is just, like, okay.
Yeah, fair enough.
I imagine Bill Murray probably quite enjoyed it. It'd be quite different
for
him.
Yeah, apparently it's his favourite film he's ever done.
Yeah.
Really?
According to IMDb trivia,
he just gets to do whatever he wants. You have to follow a script and that.
Suppose.
Yeah. Just him sitting around, lying around in bed.
Yeah.
Going for a swim.
And he'll get a hold out in Japan.
It's quite funny because like, that is like, the thing that he's doing in the film is exactly what he's doing in the. Exactly what he's like actually doing, filming the film.
Yeah.
Like, he gets to go out to a thing for like 2 weeks. Film this film,
exactly.
Get paid millions of dollars.
It's like the film will just be his life.
Yeah, it's quite funny. Yeah, so what would you think then? What's your rating, Craig?
Three and a half out of 10.
Whoa.
Wow.
Oh my god.
I was thinking maybe giving it a 4, but I'll give it a 3.5. Honestly, no, I think honestly, unless you're in your mid to late 40s or you're in that very special moment in your 20s, then the film will have a meaning. And I think it's okay to respect what it's trying to be, but it doesn't take away the fact for me that it was not an enjoyable film.
So like it's not even like an okay, it's a thumbs down for you.
Yeah, I think it was a bad film for me, yeah.
Okay. I like it. Right. That's by far the worst review you've ever had on this. What do you think, Louise?
I would give it a 5.
5, okay. Yeah. That's like middling.
Yeah, medium.
So would you give a thumbs up or a thumbs down if you had to?
Probably a thumbs down. I would never watch it again.
Yeah, I'll never. Honestly, to be fair to that, I would probably watch it. I'm going to wait until I'm like in the same moment that I'm going through. I'm like, okay, I'll watch it again.
When you're in a loveless marriage?
When you're in
Tokyo? No. When you're going through that life, when you're like, you've just finished university, you don't really know what you want to do with your life properly, I can watch it then. And then when you're in like, when you hit your midlife crisis, everyone hits a midlife crisis, no matter how good your life is, you're going to hit one.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm hitting it right now. Watch it then. No, but like, so you guys obviously have quite critical opinions of the film, and that's cool. I'm in the same position where I probably wouldn't watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Like I think it's better than you think it is.
I still respect the film. I can understand when people like it. I just don't. I just don't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy it. I still have respect for it.
So my rating, I would say, is 7 out of 10. Whoa. I would say it's better. I think it's better than The Platform.
Fair.
I think it's about... It's not as good as Girl Interrupted or like The Machinist in terms of what we've rated so far.
Mm-hmm. I would say it's nowhere near as good as them.
I think you think The Platform's better.
No,
You think The Platform's twice as good.
No.
Well, the thing is, The Platform actually had like a story to it. Like, yeah, they were trying to get to the bottom.
The Platform had this really cool concept, and it I know it didn't deal with it the best way possible, but it still had like really interesting background meaning, and like those interesting characters in it, and you're like, oh, this is so cool, and it there's so much mystery, and it kind of teased things at you, and you're like, it made you think more about the film, you're curious about more. It ended, you're like, oh, I wish it didn't end, I wish it showed more. It kind of abruptly ends, whereas I was excited for this film to end from. From about 25 minutes in, I was excited. I was sitting there like, I cannot wait for this to finish. Yeah, I was like, I want to go do stuff. I want to go and do the rest of my day now. For the first 50 minutes, I was like, fine, start the film. We'll let it, we'll build up the characters, that's fine. And then I quickly realised that this is the film. In about 25 minutes, I was like,
what have I done?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in a position where like I knew pretty much exactly what this film was going to be, so I wasn't underwhelmed. I was like pretty much, I was exactly whelmed. I was exactly where I thought I would be.
I mean, if you knew what it was, I suppose it'd be better for you. But Bill Murray in it. Oh, this is going to be one of his absolute classics because I've heard of the film before.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson's starter film as well. This is going to be unreal.
There's a reason why it isn't like a household name.
Yeah.
because it is, as I said before, it is more like introspective. It makes you look into yourself. It's kind of encouraged you to like make up the story like in your head almost.
Yeah.
Which is not a negative in and of itself, because loads of films do that. But it is a totally different caliber of film than the kind of films you watch on here.
Mm-hmm. I just kind of feel like if the director didn't have the name she had, she wouldn't have been able to get people like Bill Murray onto the film, which wouldn't have made it as good as what it was. I really feel like Bill Murray carried that film an unbelievable amount.
Do you know that Bill Murray has this really weird thing where he doesn't have an agent? He has literally like no representation. He just has like a number you call, and if he likes your pitch, he'll phone you back.
That's pretty cool.
He just listens to like voicemails and stuff. Fair. And apparently, Sofia Coppola sent him like 100 voicemails, like, please come and do my film. Here's what it is, blah, blah, blah. And then eventually he was like, yeah, okay. But then he said he loved it. It's his favourite film he's ever done.
Yeah, but I can imagine why he loves it, because it's just completely different to every film he's ever made.
I think it might be because like it speaks to him. Might be like the most character that's true to himself.
It deals with something that he was probably going through at the time.
He's been famous for 40, 50 years, so I imagine he's a bit jaded by it, doesn't really like, know what to think of it anymore.
Yeah.
But I give the film a thumbs up overall, but like I wouldn't watch it again probably.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'll change mine to a 4, because you're right. Platform isn't twice as good as it. I'll give it a 4.
Okay. I'll make an edit on the form.
Four.
Okay. 4 is still the worst we've ever had.
Yeah, that's the worst film I've seen for me.
On here?
On this podcast, yeah.
Yeah.
And fair to enough. Be honest, as bad films, it's up there. I don't really watch bad films. Like bad horror films, I just know when they're bad, so I don't watch them. But and there's some bad films that are so bad they're good.
Yeah, but that's like not this kind of film.
Yeah, I know.
It's like horror films and stuff that tend to be so bad they're good.
Yeah.
You know, films like Trolls 2, The Room. Like I would have a more enjoyable experience watching them, I would say.
It's very unlikely to happen. Like it's.
Hello?
I think Sofia Coppola is a good director, very capable. Like I think, as I keep saying throughout the whole thing, the visual storytelling is, it does a really good job of communicating like isolation and finding each other and all that kind of stuff. But I get like if that doesn't mean anything to you guys, then fair enough.
Hey guys, welcome back from the break. That was a great break.
What an intro as well.
An intro as well.
Dropping a mad donk on it. Get us right back into the game.
We're just going to kick off. We've got a couple of questions here. This one comes from Sean. Thanks for listening, Sean. Oh, no problem.
Cheers, Shane.
My question is, similar to last week's kind of one, what is your favourite, not horror, what's your favourite comedy like franchise?
No!
Wait, we're doing franchise or film?
Film or franchise.
Oh, that's
I
a tough
one.
What a question to drop out of nowhere, isn't it? No
hey, prep. Guys. You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks for the heads up, Shane.
I'll just kick off of mine. I think that, I don't know, but I would say the Cornetto trilogy is probably the best single comedy trilogy of all time.
Yeah, fair.
I'm talking Shaun of the Dead. I'm talking Hot Fuzz. I'm talking World's End.
I would say World's End nowhere near as good as the first two, though.
I would say Hot Fuzz is by far the best one.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. They're so good. Gee whiz.
To be fair, I quite enjoy the Anchorman, though. Anchorman 1 and 2 were quite funny as well.
That cannot. Anchorman 2 is absolutely terrible.
I can't really remember it. I've seen it in the cinema, but I remember the first one being quite funny.
The Grown Ups, that's good.
I don't think it is, though, is it? Most comedies are pretty crap. Airplane, I love Airplane.
I have not watched a comedy in ages.
Oh, wait, no, the Monty Python ones.
The Monty Python, yeah.
Yeah, the Monty Python ones, they're top tier.
The Inbetweeners, that's not a trilogy.
No, it doesn't have to be a trilogy. I didn't say it was a trilogy.
Oh,
just
right.
Franchise.
Yeah, that's funny.
The Aperture fonts are funny. Like, they, yeah. They're just pretty crap, but they're just funny, though.
Yeah, it's just because you could imagine that in real life.
Yeah, you could just see it happen in real life, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. That was good. That was a one-minute statement.
I really like the Aperture. I think the Aperture is really, really good.
Yeah. Classic. Oh,
yeah, definitely.
It's just so relatable, I think.
Yeah.
Hashtag relatable, am I right?
I want to watch that again, actually.
Some for
religion. I really like Airplane, as I said before. I think Airplane is really funny. Have you ever seen Airplane?
No.
Airplane is just, it's just full of, it's like, I'm serious. Surely you can't be serious. Oh, I'm serious. Don't call me Shirley. That's where that comes from.
What? I've never heard of that.
It's like, surely you can't be serious. Well, I'm serious.
Shirley.
Don't call me Shirley.
Dad says that like all the time.
Aye.
Shirley.
And there's this thing, my favourite joke in the whole thing is right at the start of the film, a guy gets out of a taxi and says, wait right here, I'll be right back. But then that character ends up getting on a plane. And then throughout the film, it cuts to this guy sitting waiting in a taxi, and then the bill on the top of the taxi is going up. It's like $1 million or something ridiculous.
Oh, no.
He's like, where is this guy? Where is he? But presumably he's been there for like 15 hours or something. And then right at the end, it just has that. And it's like the final little bit. And he's like, he's like, slams the door or something.
Is that on Netflix?
I don't know. But I would highly recommend watching it. Good little flick.
It's a good movie. Nice.
As you said before,
one.
Yeah, Monty Python, that's a good...
The Holy Grail is my favourite. Life of Brian's good as well.
But Life of Brian's funny. His name is Brian, and he's a very naughty boy. Holy Grail's funny. Was like, they get the coconuts, like...
Yeah, because they couldn't afford horses, so they just used coconut. Yeah. And it's like, the boy, it's like, solve the riddle. It's like, what's your favourite colour? He's like, green. No, purple!
He's like, what is your name? What is your quest? What is your favourite colour? Is he blue? No, red! Yeah, it's like, it's Sir Robin. He's like, he is brave Sir Robin. It's like, brave Sir Robin ran away. It's like, quite like minstrels following him, like singing songs about what he's doing.
They have the thing of like the Black Knight. He's like, he never gives up. He cough all his limbs. He's just, come here!
Yeah. Come here. Come on, then. We're talking about that. Come on. He has like no
limbs. No limbs.
Come on, then. Come on. Or it has like the knights. We are the knights who say neep.
Yeah, it's just so random. Yeah.
There's the big massive knight that has like three heads.
Yeah.
Classic. And so my favourite joke in that is probably when it's like a visual joke where it's people looking at a door, and then you can see someone running in the distance, and it keeps cutting to them like looking at the door, and then they're running in the distance. So it's the same shot over and over, yeah. And then it does it like five times, and then eventually like, you look again and then look back and it just crashes like straight through. So obviously like it's a bit of funny visual stuff.
I like it.
And there's a bit as well where like they have a bit where they're talking about how fast can a swallow fly, yeah. Or something like that. The Alaskan swallow.
Yeah, that's the riddle. And he's like, do you mean, yeah. Alaskan?
An African swallow? Yeah.
He's like, no!
I don't know.
The riddle dies, yeah.
He's like, pass me the holy hand grenade.
To the rabbit. Yeah.
Funny. And Life of Brian's like, always look on the bright side of death.
Yeah. It's a good film. I think Life of Brian's a funnier concept.
Yeah, They have the Monty Python series is really funny as well.
Yeah. They are really good.
We used to watch them all the time when we were younger.
Yeah, you had the box out of it. I remember you got it.
Yeah. Got
not
it for
me.
Christmas, I think. Not you.
No.
Only boys are to watch Monty Python.
This is a boys list.
It's like boys only, dudes.
Sorry.
And then, anything else? Or do we move on to another question?
I've got another question for you, dudes.
Okay, this question comes in from Craig. Thank you for emailing in.
Yeah, thanks, Craig. Craig, you're probably one of our best listeners, so...
Yeah.
Craig, just keep up the good work.
Yeah.
Right. So my question is, if you're going through a midlife crisis like Bill Murray, what country would you choose to go to by yourself?
Like the Maldives.
Fair enough.
Because they just relax, you can.
Fair enough.
Go to Bali.
Go to Bali.
Yeah.
I would probably go the moon.
Oh. That's not a country.
Not yet.
I suppose.
By the time I'm going through a midlife crisis, then it will be. I would go to the moon. Just think it'd be cool. I think the shops there are really cool.
Yeah.
I just think the culture is just interesting up there.
I watched this thing. You know, everyone's like, oh, we should colonize Mars. I saw a thing that actually said that even though if we touch the ground on Venus, we'd like evaporate because it's just so hot. But apparently there's a way in the sky, the atmosphere is exactly the same as Earth. So people are like, we could actually build Cloud City like in Star Wars and live there.
That'd be sick.
Because there's metals that could survive on the planet, so you'd be giant stilts.
What the heck?
Ah, see?
Art where would you life. Go, Craig?
Where would I go? I would probably go... I would like Japan, but I wouldn't go to like Tokyo in Japan. I would go to like
Nagasaki.
I would go to like all like the old temples and the things. I think it would just be really cool. Be very
nice.
I'd
also like to go see the Shaolin monks, but I think that's in China.
Yeah.
China.
I think that would be really cool.
I think it'd be cool to go to like South Korea or something. That's my real answer.
So and Canada.
Crazy.
Or like...
Canada would be like...
No, it would be the cool, Moon Mansion. Take it back.
It would be too similar, I think, for me. Right, guys. So Louise is going to be dropping in a question for us. Louise, hit it.
Okay, so the question for this week from Louise is... What? Wait, I feel like we've done this one before, but YOLO. If you could speak any other language, what would it be?
I would speak Mandarin.
Yep.
Mandarin's a good shout. It's the language of the future, so they say.
Yeah, fine.
I think that like so, whenever you see a future film, they always kind of speak something similar, like a South African kind of like Afrikaans, because it's just like a pan-European plus all these other influences. So I think maybe learning like Afrikaans kind of dialect might be kind of useful as well.
Hmm?
I like it. Do you know that apparently Finnish is the hardest language for English speakers to learn?
You've got a friend that speaks that.
Harder than Chinese.
Exactly, but that's all we find. Apparently, yeah, because they construct their sentences so different from us.
Like it.
I like would maybe like to learn like Italian or something too.
Italiano. Like tagliatelle. Yes.
Yeah.
Spaghetti.
Nah, because that's quite similar to French, and then we kind of know French too, so.
Yeah, true.
Aye.
It's a romance language.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
Aye.
Right, last question.
Oh, got another one.
If you're right, okay, so this one's also from Krog.
Oh, thanks, Krog.
Different, you're not Craig.
Oh, thank Krog. You.
Krog, keep up the good work. He's a new person who listens, so keep up the good work. Krog.
Krog. Krog.
You croggy.
Right. So, what Krog's asking is, that's an interesting one, guys. So, you're in, would you rather fight against one lion?
Oh my god.
Or fight against 1,000 chickens.
1,000 chickens,
please. 1,000 chickens, 100.
But the chickens could just come over you and like pin you down.
Like I could just like, if a lion would just eat me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a lion death would be a lot faster than getting pecked to death by 1,000.
What do you think would live in? What do you think would win in a fight out of a lion and 1,000 chickens?
I would say a lion.
Yes.
No, but then 1,000 chickens could just peck all of the lion apart.
But I think a lion just like power through it, just like run through the.
Yeah, that's true. Actually,
yeah.
Just imagine some vicious chickens are really going for it.
Yeah.
Right. How about another one?
Wait,
for you guys. He's got one more. He's okay, got one right. more. How about what animal from the sea do you wish could go on land? Like you wish that would be a land.
What a weird question.
Oh my gosh.
I'll say, crabs. They just walk around on the street and stuff. That'd be funny.
Yeah.
That would be funny. I would say an octopus. Cause
it'd just
be cool
so
watch them go around.
Maybe like a seahorse.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Just hop in a bit.
They still we can people ride them, so like full sized horse sized seahorses.
Yeah. That would be fun.
That'd be funny.
There you go. That's some amazing questions.
Thanks, Krog, I appreciate it.
Krog's an amazing guy. Krog,
keep saying Craig. Oops, also the same guy. Right, just we're gonna move on to a quick catch up.
Aye.
Yes, catch up.
Aye.
Catch it up, catch it up.
Let me begin.
I don't know what that was.
I'm going to pause for like 10 seconds. I'll just okay.
I like it. It's a different dynamic.
Yeah, okay. So what have you been up to this week, Craig?
Right, guys. So we did a family quiz on Sunday.
Did you?
And yeah, it was amazing. But the tables were exactly the same as every yep. week. Exciting. Then I've been doing my work because I've got some work due on...
Today.
Oh, actually, got some work due today. I'm going to finish it all about to conclusion and do my sources. But guys, here's my story for you. So on Friday, ordered a Uber Eats. What's that? Guy waited 2.5 hours for it. Then it turns out the guy came into my flat building and then someone let him through the door and then they walked up the stairs friendly talking to him. And then when they got to the stairs, they just said, oh, wait, it's ours. And took it. So that was just great. So I had to go at 12 o'clock at night because I waited 2.5 hours for my food and bang on every single flat door. I woke up Sunday. I felt horrible. So, and then he was the only guy that opened. It wasn't him because he said he had curly hair. So then the next day, I got myself an hour. I got our German dog kebab. It was amazing. I got a mixed meat quesadilla. Highly rate it. Then I've been doing work for my essay. And then on May the 4th, we watched Return of the Jedi. May the 4th day, obviously. I have to be doing that.
May the 4th be with you.
Obviously.
Yesterday was Revenge of the 5th. And then, I also watched in our film. Isha wanted to watch it, so I watched it with her. It's got Heath Ledger in it.
Brokeback Mountain?
No.
Dunno?
It's on Disney Plus, but it's a classic early 2000s film.
Nice.
I like it.
I can't remember what it's called, but it's got Heath Ledger in it, and it's about these kids in school. And then I got to take, me and Isha got, Isha wanted to get a takeaway last night, so I was like, fine. We got Chicken Club, it was really good.
Craig, so much for your one takeaway a week.
Yeah, well, no, because I had my one takeaway on the weekend. So that was for last week, and I had one takeaway today. Because I never got a takeaway all week, so I just saved it for the weekend.
Okay.
And then each one won this week because we couldn't afford to make any food, so we're like, right, fine. And then we started recording the podcast, and here we are.
Wow, exciting.
What about you, Louise?
I've just been doing some... college work. I've started a new fitness program thing, which is pretty intense, but I like it.
It's cool.
I've been making a lot of banana bread.
Oh, jealous.
Stunning. And last night I made dinner for the fam. I made honey sesame chicken.
Beautiful.
It was nice. Good.
I like it.
Not really been doing much, to be honest. We did a wee... Oh, wait, did I already speak about that? Oh, I did last week. I've literally not done, like, anything, obviously, because we're in lockdown, so, yeah.
I like it. Thanks. This week, I did the same stuff as you. Did the quiz, sat around. I also, this week, managed to finish my essay, so that's me totally finished my exams.
Woohoo!
Yahoo!
How did they go, Sean?
They're all right. Pretty good. I'm happy with them, but woo-hoo! We'll have to see. We'll have to wait a couple of weeks to get the results back, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
I got on that day that I finished, which was Saturday or Sunday, one of them. Mm-hmm. I got a takeaway. I decided to treat myself. I got loaded fries, Korean barbecue brisket, loaded fries. They were beautiful.
Oh, yummy!
And then yesterday, I also got shakes and cakes, which is a dessert takeaway place.
Mm.
I like it. I got banana. I got a brownie with ice cream and also a banoffee pie with ice cream. Because why not?
Why not? YOLO.
Going all out.
I've started to do a bit more reading. I've started reading a book about drugs in Nazi Germany called Blitz.
Wow.
Did you know that most modern drugs were founded in the interwar years in Germany?
Absolutely not.
Really?
Can you believe it?
I remember seeing a fact that Hitler used to give his troops heroin or meth to make them march for longer. Yeah. Apparently Hitler also would take a concoction of heroin and meth
and coke. He was a junkie. That's what the book's about. It's quite a good book. Probably one of the highlights of my week, apart from obviously passing my exams, but like, pff, who knows, who cares? Well, not passing them, submitting them, but I watched The Clone Wars.
Really good.
Really good. The most recent stuff. Shed a tear.
Yeah, I'm excited to see
it's really good. It's just, because obviously, Craig, it, It's set between episode 2 and 3, and it kind of like
it gets right up to Revenge of the
Sith. It bleeds. It goes like into Revenge of the Sith and past it.
Oh my god! No, that's a, I was okay. That was a spoiler. But okay,
sorry.
I'm so excited.
I'm sorry. Only it only goes past it for one scene.
Oh fair. Oh fair enough. I think I'll finish the Mandalorian as well. I've got to say that.
What do you think of the Mandalorian?
I thought it was good. Except for the next season.
I think it's okay. There's like probably like 4 episodes that are really good, and the rest of them in the middle are, I think, are pretty bad. They're kind of boring.
The third episode's cool. I think the episode in the prison's pretty cool.
I think the episode where have like the bounty hunter, the young bounty hunter is actually terrible.
Yeah, I think that one's not the best, but I think the last two are pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. The last one especially is really cool.
I would say the first one's cool. The third one. That's quite a lot. I like the first one, the third one. Where's the one where like they fight off the gang with the old AT-ST?
Oh yeah, okay.
That one's alright.
Yeah, that's like 4 or something like that. But yeah.
The one in the prison's quite cool. It's like a random team, and there's like a lot going on.
There's all the different characters and stuff. It's quite nice. Apparently, I'm really excited for season 2 because Ahsoka's meant to be in it.
Yeah, she got casted.
And obviously, I've been watching the Clone Wars, and I just started watching Rebels as well. So I'm trying.
I'm moving on that next. I'm almost finished season 4 of the Clone Wars. So I'm getting it.
Well, the stuff I won't talk about it too much. We could talk about it off mic, but like it's just really good. So that's been my week, pretty much. Nothing too crazy. I'm looking forward to just like spending more time just chilling. Yeah, I've been kind of high stress, a lot of like a low level of stress continuously for the past like 2 weeks. So it's quite nice to be.
I'm gonna get yourself a new game. I heard The Last of Us is the free game of the month.
I've already got it. But I'm gonna play through. Me and Poppy are gonna play through Detroit Become Human.
Oh, that's a good game. Yeah, it's really
play
good
through
game.
That. But Poppy's obviously still got her work to do, so it's a bit of an unfortunate situation. But
yeah,
it don't matter. Right.
When's Poppy's work for?
A couple of weeks left, I think.
Oh, fair. That's like me. I've still got a couple of weeks to my exams.
Yeah. That's it. That'll do it for our catch up.
Let's hear.
We'll do the social Louise stuff, Craig.
But Louise didn't say
that. Yeah,
she did. She was a middle one.
Were you not listening?
Obviously not. Right, Craig, what is this? What's the social stuff?
Wait, hold on. Oh no, you did. Oh yeah, banana bread.
Yeah.
I completely forgot that happened. I thought it was just me and Sean.
Silly.
What happened? My brain.
Silly Billy.
That's so weird. Brain just completely lost a chunk of time.
Yeah.
Right, social guys. So, just remember to drop your questions, reviews, criticisms, anything you want to say at all, and even options for films.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see what you guys want to watch. So you'll be dropping all that in to our email, which is swanstonpodcast@outlook.com.
Woohoo!
Dropping them in. And our Instagram's swanstonchat, swanston_chat.
No.
Is that our Twitter?
Yep.
That's our Twitter, swanstonchat.
No.
Another one's swanston_chat.
Yeah.
So tweet that if you want.
Tweet it.
You go to our Instagram, which is swanston_podcast.
No.
Damn it. That was rough as well.
Swanston_chatroom for Instagram. The email is swanstonpodcast@outlook.com and Twitter is swanston_chat. And quickly talk about, we also are running a giveaway. Got another month left on that though, so if you want to go over to iTunes, to Apple Podcasts, and rate 5-star, leave a review, send an email with evidence of having done those two things, and you'll be entered into the prize draw.
And feel free to ask a question.
Do ask a question, yes. I insist. So that'll do it for this one. I'm just going to quickly leave you with what we're going to be doing next week.
Mm-hmm.
You excited, guys?
Yeah.
It's this next week we're going to be doing the Netflix. It's on Netflix. It's called The Martian.
Okay.
Oh, is that with the moon?
It's about Mars. It's Martian.
Sorry. Yeah. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the one with Matt Damon?
It is with Matt Damon. Yeah. It's a good film.
It's not that old.
Like 4 years? 3 years?
Yeah.
This is one of the few films that I've actually seen before.
Never seen it.
Look forward to it, guys. Look forward to it.
Yep.
It's quite a short one, actually, which Dad will be happy about that. So
yeah.
Right, we'll see you guys next time. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening.
You happy, Dad? Sorry. Is this good enough for you?
Right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.